Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour on this Monday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Let's talk with TD, Teron Davenport, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Smashville. Nashville's premier mobile tire company. We talked a lot of Preds in the last hour. Online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. Good win by the Titans down in Jacksonville as they win 37-19. Teron, what stood out to you?
Hey, brother, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What stood out to you in the win down in Jacksonville?
Oh, well, I mean, a lot stood out to me. I think first and foremost, some of the things that Todd Downing did as far as scheming ways to get guys open. I like him using the wildcat a bit. And, you know, that's what stood out to me the most, was just a little more creativity on the offensive side of things. Defensively, man, the lack of tackling, that was obviously an issue. And that's something that they have to shore up if they want to be able to compete with some of these teams, you know, Buffalo coming in next week.
How do you do that? Because obviously they will have their hands full with probably today, we all would agree, is the best team in the NFL today.
Yeah, well, you know, if I had the solution to that, I wouldn't be standing
wouldn't
outside
be on
here in the parking lot. I would be in there with Coach Grabel and scheming stuff up. But instead, I'm in the parking lot, and my guys at the Freedom Tire Guys, they just hooked up my tires here at the facility. So, you know.
You'd have more zeros at the end of your paycheck? Winning. Is that what you're saying? You'd have more zeros at the end of your paycheck?
Yeah, I'd have more zeros at the end of my paycheck, more than likely. But, you know, it's all good.
Well, I tell you what, it is going to be interesting because, what did you make of the whole Trevor Lawrence play at the goal line? Did you think he was in? What was your – that whole sequence, what did you make of that?
I thought the knee was down. I thought it was down before he crossed the line of scrimmage. And I think they made the right call after they reviewed it. And it's one of those situations where, you know, the crowd didn't seem to like it, but I think it was the right call.
What did you make of the then – fourth down play, fourth and goal, and you give it to Carlos Hyde, which that obviously blew up.
Well, you had James Robinson averaging 8.3 per carry, and it was interesting because Kevin Byard said his contact balance is similar to Alvin Kamara. So you take that out and you put in Carlos Hyde, who obviously has ties to Urban Meyer dating back to their Ohio State days. And I don't know that I agree with that one. But really what did it, Tyler Tart, if you go back and watch it, I mean, he blew it up, and he got in there in a heartbeat, and that made Carlos Hyde just kind of slow his momentum and bounce it a little bit. Next thing you know, Chris Jackson and the rest of the defense, they were there to keep him from getting anywhere, and it was a turnover on downs.
What did you make of Crookshank's play on Sunday?
Left a lot to be desired. You know, there was tackling issues, and as they continued to fester, there was one point, I think it was D. Arnold that made a catch along the sideline, and there was just like hesitation by Crookshank to come up and make the tackle, and it just kind of showed that he was kind of in his – well, I don't want to speak for him. It looked like he was in his own head from a tackling perspective, and there was some hesitancy, and you can't have that when you're, you know, coming up to make a play. So I think there's a lot to be desired. Crookshank posted on Twitter that, you know, he is aware that he didn't tackle as well, and he'll shore it up, and he said it's on him. So, you know, from an accountability standpoint, you know, he tried to do that. But, I mean, this team could definitely use a playmaker like Amani Hooker whenever he's ready to come back. But in the meantime, you know, Crookshank, he's capable of playing well, so he just has to, you know, put it together. And if Hooker's not going this week, man, they are really going to need Cruikshank to play up to and above his ability against the Bills.
Got to see the first and third round picks out on the field on Sunday, so that was nice. How did you think Elijah Molden and Caleb Farley played?
Yeah, Molden, I mean, right from the door, he set the tone. And it's just interesting how that confidence thing works for a player. And it just seemed like, you know, from that point on, he just settled in. He was, you know, well aware of his health, his spacing. He had a couple, you know, he had a pass breakup. You know, he stuck with receivers in the slot. So that was a good thing. So I think he played pretty well. And you know, the thing that I like about it is after the game, he was asked about, you know, that play that he made. And he was like, man, I flushed it down the toilet and I came back because I wanted to just continue to do whatever I could to help the team. So that short-term memory, it has to apply to positive as well as negative, and that's an example there.
You know what I loved about that, Teron, too? That play, a detail that I saw after I went back and watched, not only does he force the fumble, but he pops back up. He realizes the play's still alive, and he goes down and he makes a block on a guy that potentially could have tackled Byard.
Yep.
I thought that was a really heady play.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He did pop up, and that block was on Tavon Austin, and it ended up helping Byard. You know, when he cut it back inside, he was able to keep going. So, yeah, you know, that was an excellent play by Molden from both perspectives. And then you look at Farley. You know, he came in, he had a pass breakup, a pretty nice one, actually, on one of the later drives. He played well, you know, 22 snaps. And it was interesting because I was wondering if some of the setups that they had, if they were going to go to like some type of route combo to cause a confusion with Farley, just as far as like switching off, you know, taking the guy that breaks to the outside or the guy that breaks to the inside, because that's something he struggled with during camp. But obviously, it didn't show on the field, so that's not something they would have picked up. I was just curious to see if they would try to confuse the rookie, and they didn't. And I think he played pretty well. There was one where they ran one of those pivot routes, and he showed the ability to kind of turn and run with the receiver, where he ran a slant, and then he put his foot in the ground and reversed back towards the outbreaking route, and it was an incompletion. So I think Farley played pretty well, and it's something to build on. I want to continue to see him just work his way back into form to where he's that elite athlete that he was at Virginia Tech.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, breaking down the Titans' win over Jacksonville. So, Teron, you mentioned some of the little wrinkles that you saw with the passing game. They're still not getting the ball down the field very much, and they're relying so heavily on Derrick Henry, and really there's no other way they can do it at this point. But it is nice to see, you can see the wheels turning with Todd Downing saying, how do I try to add dimension? What did you think of the pass protection? I did think it was a little bit better. It's still concerning, especially based on who you're playing next Monday.
Yeah, it got a little bit better. Caleb Von Chason was able to get some pressure. I know that's a guy that they liked coming out of LSU. But it did get better, and you speak to the pass protection, and that's something that makes it a little bit more difficult to go down the field. So I'm not going to knock the lack of deep shots from a Ryan Tannehill, Todd Downing, A.J. Brown, and the crew perspective. It's more of, I don't know that I would dial up too many deep shots either, you know, with some of the struggles that have been happening. So you definitely want to be able to stretch the field, and you're going to have to do it, as you mentioned, this week against the Bills. I mean, this is, you saw what they did against the Chiefs, you know, so it can easily become a shootout type of situation, and you're going to have to find ways to score the football. But at the same time, with an offense like the Bills, you know, you want to keep them off the field. So that dink and dunk, the 5 to 15-yard passing game is something that they can use just as a form of defense against that offense that's so strong.
What is the ceiling for you with Marcus Johnson? Because we got to see him for the first time. He made a couple of nice little contributions there. Where does it go from here?
Yeah, I think it just continues to go up, and I think he's a guy that obviously you want Julio Jones back for this week against the Bills. Obviously you do. But I think he's a guy that could come in the mix and be a bit of a factor, too, just working those intermediate routes. You saw the 22-yard reception he had. He showed some yards after the catch ability, acceleration to pull away on that crossing route that he caught. So I think there's a lot to be more that he could do. You know what I mean? And he's someone that the coaching staff just has the utmost confidence in. He's someone that Ryan Tannehill has complete confidence in. So those things right there are obviously big factors, and it's just pointing up for him. You know, the main thing with him, as it's always been, it's not ability, you know, it's his availability. And if he can make himself available, I think he'll be a factor.
How did you think A.J. Brown looked? I don't know if you got a chance to talk to him after the game. I saw some of the comments he made. I know he still feels like there's another level there. It was great to see him out there, but he looked maybe, I don't know, a little rusty. What's the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I don't know that I would call him rusty. He still, you know, did some good things, you know, when he got his hands on the football. If you watch that reception he had that set up a Derrick Henry's one-yard touchdown run, and he caught the slant, and that one was an excellent play design right there where, you know, he was able to catch the slant. Firkser released off the line, and it just kind of like pushed the DB back that had to come down and cover the slant. And then on the opposite side, Swain ran a crossing route from left to right. AJ was going right to left, and that left to right crossing route took the linebacker with him, and all of a sudden there was just like a huge window for Tannehill to throw the football and a lot of space for AJ Brown to operate. And he caught it and showed acceleration to be able to, you know, take off and push the ball down to the 1 yard line. He tried to dive it in there, but I think it was Chase on that hit him. But that right there, you know, for a guy with a hamstring situation, I think for him to show the ability to accelerate instantly and the confidence to do that, I think that's an indication that the hamstring is pretty much okay. But as he said after the game, they definitely had him on a snap count. He felt like he could have done more, but understandably, the Titans, we know how they manage injured players, you know, with very delicately. So I think he's going to be fine, and I would expect to see even more from him coming against Buffalo, and they're going to need it, right? And you look at Trey Davis White, you know, that's a matchup. If Julio can't go and they go cat coverage on Brown, that's a match. That's a premier matchup, and I think it's an opportunity for Brown to show that he belongs among the top receivers in the league.
Talking to Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. TD, I thought the offensive play calling yesterday was a little more creative. We obviously saw Chester Rogers on the end around, which I thought was a good play, 80% in the red zone. But how would you evaluate that with Todd Downing yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was touching on when you asked me about the points that stood out. And I think it was really good. And you know, A.J. Brown said that, you know, it really helps the receivers. It's huge for them when you have plays designed like that to help them out. I like the fact that he just kind of like dug into his bag of tricks too, right? You know, you look at, as you mentioned, the end around, you got Wildcat, you got motion, and it was even layered a bit too. You know, like they sent Batson, or no, it was Charles Rogers. They sent him, Chester Rogers. I always do that. They sent Chester Rogers in motion, and they went off of that, and they pitched it to Henry to the opposite side. And then the next play, you know, was the end around. So, like, you got to see him just kind of, like, look like he was setting things up and just, you know, showing one thing and working off the other. And that was definitely a sign of growth. And when you look at, you know, what Taylor Lewan said, just about not wavering or panicking and just continuing to stay the course, I think that's what he's done. Obviously, to start, there have been some issues as far as some of the play design, play call, et cetera, but it's starting to come into form. I think he's called a pretty solid back-to-back games recently over the last 2 weeks.
Do you think that's simply just a chemistry thing, that it just, you know, he hadn't been the play caller? You know, there were some new pieces, but some pieces that have been here for a while, and it's simply just everybody building that chemistry and getting on the same page?
I think just from a play caller's perspective, it's a feel, right? It's just kind of, so yeah, you can say it's chemistry. You know, it's kind of a feel for how you want to set things up with this group of guys. You know, it's that's something I asked Ryan Tannehill about you know, how they're doing just as far as coming together and deciding which plays are up, which plays are down. And he said that's something that has gone really well. And he said that Todd Downing has presented some things that really stood out and that he felt, you know, would help out. So, yeah, that chemistry is something that still has to continue to be developed. Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill definitely had that. And actually Tannehill said that was the best play call quarterback relationship he's had, you know, and it definitely showed with the comfort level that Tannehill had in that offense. Now let's see what happens here. The thing that I was really impressed with also is their red zone touchdown scoring improved. They were at 80% this game as opposed to the 50% that they had throughout the season. So they're starting to work into more of that form that you saw from the 19 and 20 offenses that the Titans presented. Found a way to still get Derrick Henry to football too, 29 carries.
Looking at something on defense, David Long, I wouldn't say he had a perfect game by any means yesterday, but he led the way in tackles. He does make some plays, and they seem to have a lot of faith in him there in the middle. But Rashawn Evans, what's your concern level with him right now?
You know, my concern with Rashawn Evans is just as far as, like, feel for the game. And there were a couple times where, you know, the one time he dove over the pile, and I think it was Robinson. He cut it a different way. That was kind of like guessing. Sometimes, you know, you do that and you guess right. Sometimes you don't. The other one was the 58-yarder that Robinson had. Unfortunately, there wasn't, like, gap integrity there. If he would have stayed in that outside gap that it looked like he was supposed to come down in, he meets Robinson at the line of scrimmage. But he kind of went a little more towards the interior gap, and that opened that crease there. And that's one of the things Mike Vrabel says, you have to wall first. You can't allow a crease, and that crease happened. And that was, you know, what led to that big run. So I think it's a lot of just feel. You could see a difference between him and David Long when they're out there. It's just a little more natural for David Long. He has a little bit better of a feel playing in space. And it's unfortunate because Evans is really capable of being a good player. You watch him in 2019 leading into 2020, and, you know, 2019 was a pretty good year for him. And you're just not seeing it as much. And I don't know what it is, but in my opinion, there's a lot of feel to it that has to get better. And, you know, feel at the linebacker position, it's tough to acquire that. And some guys like David Long, they just have it naturally.
Real quick, November 2nd is the trade deadline in the NFL. And we've seen the last few years that teams have been a little more active around that. I look at this team right now and tight end still concerns me. You mentioned Cruikshank earlier. Safety still concerns me. How active do you think that John Robinson could be, and how active do you think he should be?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have the same concerns about safety because you have Hooker coming back at some point, and, you know, Cruikshank had a bad game and a half, you know, but let's not forget, well, yeah, because the Seattle game was a little tough. But let's not forget that, you know, he does have some ability. Actually, the Seattle game was good. The Colts game was a little tough. So I'm not overly concerned about the safety position, but tight end, you're right. And when you said November 2nd, the name that popped into my mind was David Njoku. And it's just, if you make that trade for him, he's going to be a free agent. So now, okay, do you want to give up draft capital for the possibility of having a guy just for this stretch? So I think how active John Robinson is really going to depend upon what they do over these next couple of games. Coincidentally, each of these games are pretty good measuring sticks, right? Rams, Colts, you got the Bills and Chiefs as well. You know, so those are really, in my opinion, going to determine where they are and how active they are. But I definitely think, you know, bringing in a guy like Njoku would obviously help the team. It's just at what cost?
Well, we'll see. Certainly next Monday night is going to be a huge test for this Titans team. Enjoy Mike Vrabel today, and Teron, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure, man. And if I can, real quick, I want to shout out my guys at Freedom Tire Guys one more time. Put some new shoes on the Audi. So I'm happy about that, man.
Very nice.
I saw your tweet, about to hit retweet on it. That's really cool that they were able to come out there and take care of you. So appreciate them for sure.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
All right, Teron Davenport, he is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works, FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. You just heard Teron. They came to him at the Titans facility. And Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. A lot to break down with the Titans win over the Jags yesterday. We will do that when we return here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 105 The Game.